glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
It's 7:32 Illinois time. Welcome to this Mark and Friends broadcast for Thursday, the 28th of July. I'm Tim Nelson, coming to you from the Springfield studios of WLUJ and Great News Media at 600 West Mason Street. The Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We know that prayer isn't just asking for something we want. Prayer should also include confession of our sin and praise to God for who He is and what He's done for us. But prayer should have an additional element, and that's thanksgiving. Repeatedly, the Bible commands us to give thanks. The psalmist said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Jesus only distributed the bread He had miraculously provided for the crowds after He had given thanks. At the Last Supper with His disciples before facing the horror of the cross, Jesus gave thanks. It's often easy to be thankful when God blesses us with something good, a swift recovery from an illness, for example, or an advancement at work. But the Bible says we should give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Thankfulness drives away a sour or prideful spirit. Let's make it a part of our prayers today and every day.
This is the life I've always wanted. To know the Prince of Peace, to feel my faith restored as your grace surrounds me. This is a day of new beginnings. This is where my freedom starts. And now death has lost its sting. And Jesus, how can I thank you? Just to know that you love me gives me hope to carry on. What can this world do to me? No, no. Just to know that you're with me on all these roads I travel on. When all I have is gone, I confess my dependence on you. There is a lightness in my laughter. There is a joy inside my soul. My heart is on you.
There can be many reasons why we don't pray. We don't think we have to. We don't want to. We overestimate our own abilities. When we try to do things on our own, we'll find ourselves failing miserably. I can personally relate to that one. So the next time you're tempted to figure something out yourself, consider what the disciples had forgotten and what Jesus reminded them of in Mark chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. Pray to the one who has all the power, showers us with mercy, and deserves all the glory. For when we pray and watch what God does, we discover He does far more than we had ever dared ask or thought to imagine.
When the new day begins, Lord, Your mercies are new again. How my heart overflows with thanks to my King. I'm so grateful You are my friend. You said that You'd never leave, and Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All Your promises are true, and I will lift up my eyes to You, for You're all that I need.
So Daniel was compelled by the problems he saw in his world, but he matched it with the promises that he saw in God's word. That gave strength to his prayer. He wasn't basing his prayer on just something he hoped for, something he wanted, something he wished. He based his prayer on God's word. He was reversing the thunder. He was praying God's word back to God, holding God to his word. So when you pray, is your prayer based on what you want, what you hope for, what you think? Would you instead ask God to give you a promise and you base your prayer on the promise? And so you hold God to his word. Let me try to explain what this means just by illustration. I have three granddaughters. And when I knew I was coming home to take care of my husband and I wouldn't be traveling anymore, I wanted to look for trips that I had yet to take that I could take my granddaughters on. So I found one for my oldest granddaughter, and then I found one for my middle granddaughter. But my youngest granddaughter was 7. I felt like she was too young to go on a trip like that, and I didn't have any more trips anyway. So she came up to me, and I could feel a little hand in mine and saying, "Mimi, I want to go on a trip." And I said, "Well, Regan, I'm not going on any more trips. You're too young. But Mimi, I want to go on a trip." And then I said, just to calm her down, I said, "The next trip I go on, I'll take you." So I knew I was safe because I wasn't going to go on any more trips. However, about a month later, my husband's brother called. He pastors a large church in Boston, and they were having a special anniversary celebration, and he asked me to come up and take part in the service. And I talked to my husband, and he was very excited for me to take part in it, and so I planned the trip to Boston. And then I feel this little hand in mine, and Regan was looking up at me, "Mimi, I want to go on a trip." And I said, "Regan, you're too young." "But Mimi, I want to go on a trip." And I said, "Not this time." And then she looked at me and said, "Mimi, you said the next time you go on a trip, I could go." So I took Regan to Boston, and we had a great time. But do you see the difference? It wasn't just telling me what she wanted. It was telling me what I had said to her. She was holding me to my word. So when you pray, would you ask God to give you a promise? And so when you look at the problems in your family, in your church, in this nation, would you ask God to give you a promise on which you can base your prayer? So when we look at our nation today and we see it imploding, the prayer or the verse that so many of us quote again and again, it's so familiar we don't even think about it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But let's pray it back to God. And we say, "God, you said that if your people," and that's me because I've put my faith in Jesus, I belong to you. And you said, if I, as your people, would pray, seek your face, if I would humble myself, if I would repent of my sin and I would turn from my wicked ways, if I would stop the sin in my life and bring it to you and come clean and ask for cleansing, you said that you would hear my prayer, you would forgive my sin, and you would heal this land. So God, I'm holding you to your word. You see the difference? And that's not arrogance. It's not offensive to God. He loves to be held to his word.
That's Ann Graham Lotz on Mark and Friends for this Thursday, July 28th. Hope you're doing well today. Thank you for joining us.
People hurting, people broken, beaten down and feeling hopeless. Wonder if it's gonna always be this way. Who will speak up for the captive? Show some love and heal a past. Finds the wounds we think will never go away. But what if we could be a people on our knees, as one before the King, 'cause we believe. Rising, I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out in faith. Because we will be a people on our knees, as one before the King, 'cause we believe.
What if we prayed prayers that made God our focus rather than our circumstances? Prayers like, God, despite my circumstances, I'll find reasons to praise you. God, even when I feel disappointed by what life brings, I will trust you to bring the good out of bad. God, help me to seek your glory, even in the midst of trials, both through my spiritual growth and as others see your work in me. I read yesterday about 60% of Christians say it's often or always true that the busyness of life gets in the way of developing their relationship with God. It seems that Martha, too, allowed busyness to distract her from spending time with Jesus. Luke seems to state that Martha's busyness in preparation degenerated into busy work that distracted her from reflecting on Jesus' words and enjoying time with him. What about us? Are we rushing from task to task, allowing the busyness of life and even work for Jesus to distract us from enjoying sweet fellowship with him? Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, Pastor Jason Schiffo will join Mark to walk us all through the question, what is power? Tomorrow at 7:32 a.m. and p.m. Illinois time from Great News Media. I'm Tim Nelson. Have a great day.